we're going to be focusing on, and we're going to be reading together the first one, and the other two are for our reference, as we're going to be referring to them a little bit during the message. And so when we look at the first one from Matthew, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night when he was betrayed, he knew that the Roman soldiers were about to arrest him, and that this process that would lead to his brutal death step by step had begun. And at this point, he was waiting, and he was preparing himself for these events. And he prayed. And he prayed what has become an extremely well-known prayer. But far beyond just being a prayer, and far beyond this prayer just being for him at that moment in time, his words are also incredible life instruction for you and for me as well. And so we're going to share this as our first reading. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to refer to the other two. So let's read this. Let's read this now. This first one together. Where Jesus, as he prayed, said this: "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will be done, but may your will be done." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not fall into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, Jesus went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, may your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. All right. And this is our reading. May God bless our understanding and our living of this word of abundant life and faith. Amen. Nice rainy day thing to do is to hear a story. So this is story time. I'm going to begin this time with a little story, and I heard this many, many years ago, and it stuck in my brain since then, and so I'm going to share it with you. And maybe it will stick in your brain. A successful businessman was growing old, and he knew that it was time for him to choose a successor to take over his business. So he called together all the young executives of the company, and he said, "You know, it's getting time for me to start thinking about stepping down and choosing a new CEO." And he said, "I've decided to choose one of you. And the way that I'm going to do this is today I'm going to give each one of you a seed. And each one is different. And I want you to plant it and take care of it. And a year from today, we're all going to gather back and we're going to see what you've grown." And with that, he said, "I'm going to judge the plants, and by that, I'm going to choose who's going to be the next CEO." There was a man in that group, and his name was Jim. And like all the rest of the young executives, he received his seed, and when he did, at the end of the day, he took it home, and he got a pot, and he got some soil. And because he was a perfectionist, he got the whole state-of-the-art lighting system and watering system. He got the best of everything. And he planted his seed very carefully. It says plant 2 inches down. He got a ruler and he planted it 2 inches down. Every day he would water it. He would tend it. He would make sure that the temperature, the humidity was absolutely perfect. And after 3 weeks, he went back to the office. Some executives who were, they started talking about the progress of how well their seeds were growing. But with Jim's, though, nothing was happening yet. Not after 3 weeks, and not after 5 weeks, not after 10 weeks. 6 months, and still nothing. It was bad news, and he felt like a failure. But he kept trying. He kept trying to nurture that pot of dirt. So at this point, everybody else had, they had tall plants, they had lush plants, they had flowering plants, and finally the year is done, and it's decision time. This is the moment. Jim's walking out of the door of his house with his empty pot, and he says to his wife, "This is not going to take long. I'm going to be home early today. Not even sure why I'm going through the humiliation of this," but he thought, you know, what can I do? He says, "I'm going to lay it on the line. Tell it like it is. Take the consequence and maybe give myself a couple of days, and then I'm going to start looking for a new job." And he took the empty pot into the boardroom, and he arrived, and oh my gosh, the other plants by this point were just absolutely magnificent. Magnificent. One was more lush than the next. And then there was Jim's pot o' dirt. Pot o' dirt. And he put it on his floor. And, you know, the colleagues, business can be tough, you know. So the colleagues, you know, they're doing kind of the eye rolls to each other. Some of them, a few of them are just kind of backing away because you don't want to get too close to the energy of a loser like that, you know. And one of them catches his eye and he mouths the words at the same time and he goes, there was one who felt sorry for him, and he was like, "Hey, buddy, better luck next time, right?" CEO walks in, and he surveys the area, and he says, "Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to it. This is the day. As promised, after today, one of you is going to be my successor." And he looks around, and he says, "You know, there's some very impressive plants and flowers here, and you've all shown a real ability to nurture." And then he stops, and he notices Jim in the back. And he says, "Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen." He goes, "For God's sake, Jim, what is that?" He goes, "There's nothing there but dirt." So Jim steps up, and he says, "Here's the deal. I took care of it. I did everything I could. I watered it. I gave it light." He goes, "But the truth is, it is what it is. It is what it is." CEO said, "All right, okay, everybody. So everybody sit down." And he says, "Not you, Jim." He says to the group, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet your new chief executive officer." Everybody goes, "Are you kidding me? There's nothing there but a pot of dirt. He hasn't grown anything." Boss says, "A year ago, I gave everybody a seed and I told you to grow it. And you came back with beautiful, lush, wonderful plants and flowers. But what you didn't know was that every one of the seeds that I gave you, I had boiled, so that you couldn't have grown anything." Jim was the only one who could withstand the pressure of maintaining his honesty and integrity and courage to bring me that empty pot of dirt. "This is the man I trust." Have you ever wanted anything so badly? Your desire is there, your love is there, your care is there, your prayer is there, and you plead with God. You go, God, God, please, please, for God's sake, please make this happen. And it doesn't happen. You don't get it. You don't get what you want. Later on, you might get something completely different. And maybe or maybe not, that different thing turns out to be even better than what you wanted in the first place. You just couldn't imagine it at the time. So you might look back and you might say, oh my God, thank you so much for not giving me what I thought I wanted at the time. Have you ever done that? I look back on so many old girlfriends that I had dated. Thank you. Thank you for not giving me what I wanted at the time. It would have been a disaster. Now, some people call this unanswered prayer. The truth is, God always answers our prayers. It's just that sometimes the answers that we get are not the answers that we want. And so from our perspective, we think God did not answer. And when we don't get what we want, we might grumble at God, and we go on looking for something else. We focus on what we didn't get. Sometimes God says, I hear you. I feel you. But you know, I've got a different idea, if you can trust me. And you know what? This is the tremendous power of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays three times, the exact same prayer, slightly different version of the words. God, do not let this happen. Take this cup from me. Please, God, please let this cup pass. I don't want to die. I don't want to die this horrible death. Who would? This is what he is saying. But then he says these powerful words, but if it does come to pass, well then, may your will be done that way too. Not what I want, but what you want. Talk about stepping up to the plate. He goes, I'm going to share what's on my heart. I'm going to pray what is on my heart. I'm going to lay it out to you, and I'm going to do everything that I can. But in the end, even if I don't understand what's going on, I'm going to completely trust in you. And that is faith. And that is really hard sometimes. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says God. How does it all fit together? Do we ever figure it out? Sometimes we do, years later when we look back. Sometimes it's so difficult to live out. I have been at this in earnest with everything I've got for 40 plus years. And I can tell you that following that path a lot of times is not easy when you're in the thick of it. Being able to pray, nevertheless, God, not what I want, but what do you want? What do you want? And that's why the difficulty of this is why I love the fact that Jesus prayed this exact same prayer three times. It's the only time when that happened. And that says to me, you know what? If it took that kind of repeated effort to go back to that and back to that and back to that, even for Jesus, to stay on that path at a really difficult time, not what I want, God, but what's your will for this situation? What is it? If it's that for him, then what does that say about us? What do you want from me, God? And can I want what you want from me and make that my will? And can I be happy with that? Can I trust that fully? What does that mean? Garrison Keillor said, "Some luck lies not in getting what you want, but in wanting what you got, where once you have it, you realize it is just what you would have wanted all along had you only known." So that's one image for us this morning, is the seed. Be a seed planter. We're called to plant and nurture the seed that God gives us, but you know, it's not up to us to determine what comes out of that seed, whether it's an oak or whether it's a clover or whether it's a rose. And that leads us to our second point, which is this. You know, that story about the seed and Jim and everything, it's like, I almost wish that the seed story, that turned out differently in the end. Where even though Jim did do everything right, how about if it ended up that he did not get the promotion, but he stepped up anyway? Maybe that happened because his boss was a jerk. That happens. Maybe that would have happened because his boss didn't respect integrity and honesty. And I say this because too often that's the way the world actually works, isn't it? So I almost wish in a way that it would have had that ending because it would have reminded us that, you know, just because you are faithful, it doesn't mean that you're always going to get the material or you're going to get the worldly reward that you either want or that you think you deserve because you've done good things. You might not get the positive recognition. You might not get the promotion. Some people say, a number of people say, why did this happen to me? I didn't do anything wrong. I worked hard. I was honest. I was faithful. I cared for others along the way. I've had integrity. Why didn't I get this or that? To which I honestly think, what do you mean? Why didn't I get? What do you mean, why didn't I get this or that? And I say this to remind myself, too. Believe me, I've said it to myself. Didn't you get a life of honesty? Didn't you get a life of integrity? Didn't you get a life where, yes, you did do for others? And you did live with faith. And since when is that not worth something? Because that's the thing that God values. And let's face it, that is not, that is not what a lot of our culture values, especially at the moment. And I say that because I believe that our culture has been seriously derailed in this department. Anywhere from examples of massive scale rip-offs, financial hacking, large-scale pharmaceutical deceit, college entrance practices, streaming lies 24/7, and calling that news, where the perpetrators admit to all of it. And you know what? People will still defend them. What is going on there? Not what I want. Not what I like. But what you want, God. God, how do you want me to take a stand on this? How do you want me to step up, and in what way, and for what values? What is your will here, God? What kind of seeds should I sow? And what kind of seeds should I nurture in myself and in my children and in those I love? What is that for you? Can you trust that? Can you live that? Can you nurture that? And is that enough? And that is all for today. You'll see that the scripture sermon title is longer, and we're going to continue next week, and we're going to finish with part two. Until then, be a seed planter. Amen.